God's holy word. Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. I hope that Ricola cough drop has helped my voice a little bit, feels a little bit better, sounds a little bit better. That's the first time I couldn't sing with you in years. Everybody stand. Out of respect for the word of God. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and put God first. As I told you yesterday, it's been my experience, if you put God first, He'll let you enjoy life a whole lot. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. In the Old Testament, where many preachers used to preach from, if they look at their sermons of the past, they'll see that they preach almost half of their sermons from the Old Testament or more. And I want to continue to preach in your hearing how to hope, lessons from the Jews and their messianic expectation, part 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Oftentimes when God has to call somebody to do something for his kingdom, he will call them away from their family. And that's just one of the realities of the Christian life, the spiritual life. Verse 2 says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would stop and block and hinder the devil who's trying to hinder us today. Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil, his demons, and his host, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, sabotage, and foolishness out of the lives of the people who have that issue on the inside and on the outside. And Lord, give us sweet victory once again over the world, the flesh, and the devil. For the devil and his cohorts never quit. And Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults, and how some of us have allowed the devil to get in. Crush and crucify our flesh and fill us with the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to worship you well, to serve you well, to proclaim your holy word, the whole counsel of God, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Lord, heal my throat. Heal my throat. And grant me your strength to preach. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, how to hope. How Christians can learn from the Israelites how to hope. lessons from the Old Testament, lessons from the Jews, and their Messianic Expectation Part 3. Pardon my throat and pray for me. Pray that God would heal and strengthen my body and my throat so that I can keep on preaching every day. In Zondervan's commentary on the book of Genesis, Bruce K. Waltke said, "The gracious God's broad new strokes to bless the earth came suddenly and brilliantly, of course, upon the canvas of sacred history." You need a refresher over there. Some changes have been made. Allow me to repeat that. And Dr. Bruce K. Waltke said, "The gracious God's broad new strokes to bless the earth came suddenly and brilliantly upon the canvas of sacred history. The Lord had not spoken to his saints since his covenant with Noah." Okay. The Lord had not spoken to his saints since his covenant with Noah, in which he resolved to bless the earth and never again to treat it with the way he did in the past. Now, suddenly, his creative word to bless the tribes and nations which he has scattered redirects the course of history and changes the world. This happened in the Old Testament. That's why you're so blessed today, because of this man named Abraham. Those of you who are of the household of faith, you are connected to Abraham. There's no doubt about it. Through Jesus Christ, his offspring, if you will, the Son of God. That's how Abraham and the Jews, the Israelites, have blessed this world, everybody, because they brought forth none other than Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And if you have trusted Christ as Savior on the New Testament side, that is because of Abraham and his family. That makes you a part of the household of faith in God. By the way, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God. And so, my beloved, this word of benediction, he goes on to say, counterbalances his words of malediction against the tower builders. Reciprocally, Abraham, with astounding suddenness, charges out in obedience and faith. Abram, or as we know him, Abraham, lived in the aftermath of the Tower of Babel, where God had confounded the language of his creation, forcing humankind to gather only with those they could communicate with. And God did that in mercy and grace, because God had the power to give everybody their own language for their little family, and that's it. And to go off in different directions, fulfilling God's command to replenish the earth in the aftermath of the flood. Abram, like most people of that time, lived among his kindred, but he received a command from God Almighty to leave his family, his extended family, everything that he ever knew, even his country. For you must understand, back in those days, where you were born was pretty much where you died. You lived your whole life right there in the neighborhood. To go to a place that God would show him. All people of the world recognize Abraham was a bad somebody. The Jews honor him and respect him. Christians honor him and respect him. And even Muslims honor him and respect him. All three major faiths of the world look back to Abraham. My God, what a man God used. A man of faith. He just heard God and just followed God. For a moment, put yourself in Abram's shoes. He's really nobody particularly important. That's how God does it. God specializes in taking nobodies who have the faith to just believe his word and follow him, and using them greatly. He took Moses from the backside of the mountain, tending herds, who had a speech impediment, who felt like he was nothing, had already murdered somebody. Yet one day God calls out to him with a command, that is to Abraham, a covenant and a conclusion. The command was simple. Abram, leave your family. Leave the land that you know and love, and go to a strange land that I will lead you to. Oftentimes throughout history, when God has chosen somebody to do something great, they have to leave their family and their kindred. This required a lot of faith on Abram's part. Family ties were such and much stronger in the ancient Near East than they are today. It was no small thing to uproot one's family. Household and flocks to go to a distant country. But God gave Abram a command with a covenant. The covenant was a promise, a guarantee, something Abram could look forward to. He was likely equal parts humbled and terrified by the proclamation that not only would his name be great, but that he would be the father of a great nation. This took great faith. Abram did not understand that this nation would be the vehicle for the seed that God had promised would come through the woman to crush the serpent's head. However, God was not through with Abram. Abram's obedience to the command and God's faithfulness to the covenant would bring about a specific consequence. That consequence would be, and that blessing would be, the blessing of all nations from the seed that came from Abram's nation. Abram must have been astounded at these amazing declarations, and you would have too, particularly when you realize you were just a regular person, a nobody, so to speak. How could one man be the father of an entire nation? How could one nation produce a blessing for all nations? Doubtless Abram did not understand. Then again, we don't know. Maybe God gave him the whole view of the future via revelation that increased Abram's faith. Some of you know and you understand that God will do that for you. He'll help you to see things in the future that you know did not come from you or from your mama or from your dad. We can't be certain that he even believed all that he was hearing. That's what some people say. That's what some people think. But I believe that Abraham did believe it. But what we do know is that Abraham obeyed. He had enough faith to obey God, which is sorely lacking in the church today. Because true faith moves you to obey God. True love for God moves you to obey him. And therein lies the blessing. That is why Abraham was one of the most blessed men in history. Abram did not live to see even a fraction of what God promised him. But he hoped and he obeyed. And that is all any of us can do as we look forward to the promised second coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Anton J. Karain wrote, "There's a glorious hope thrilling Christian souls today, and our hearts beat high as in faith we watch and pray. Looking unto him who shall call his own away to the glory over yonder. As we wait for him, daily watching and in prayer, what a peace he gives, what a joy beyond compare. Just a foretaste here of the rapture we will share in the glory over yonder. Is your heart at rest? Have you given all to God? Are you fully cleansed in the Savior's precious blood? Are you walking now in the path that Jesus trod to the glory over yonder? Don't lose hope. Keep hope alive." Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ with my feeble voice. Lord, help us to keep hope alive. And Lord, help us as your people to confess our sins, our foolishness, and repent. And get our hearts right with you, for your blessed hope will have a cleansing impact upon our souls and upon our spirits and lives. So Lord, help us to keep hope alive in you and your second coming as it purifies our lives. And you, motivates us to serve you in these last and difficult days. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you're with us today and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in him, because he is coming again and you do not want to be left behind. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and the consequences of sin, which is eternal hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all failed God and come short. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Death is a bad thing, by the way. Death is terrible. Should have never been. When my mother buried my father, she told me that she is convinced that we were not supposed to go this way. And she was right. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Hell is bad news, but I got good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he died for your sins. He suffered and bled and died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul. And he will. Here's God's promise. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you want to be saved today? I'll be glad to lead you in prayer if you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it to your heart. I'm just guiding you. I'm not praying for you. I'm praying with you. And you need to pray to God directly and ask him to save you through Christ. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done wrong and evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by dishonoring my parents, by taking your holy name in vain, by lusting after people and things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul, understanding that I deserve to go to hell. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, that is the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for what you have done and for what you're doing and for what you will do. And Lord, we pray for over 3 million souls to come to know your Savior. 3 million Christians be revived in these last and evil days in which we live. And Lord, help us to keep hope alive. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time. To Jesus come.